Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
All right, let's move to a hot topic, and that is S-REITs with one of our favorite REITs commentators. Let's check in with Gabriel. Yep, how are you doing, Gabriel?
Hey, Michelle, how are you?
I am doing well. He's chairman of GCP Global. I want to start, as always, with your reading of the temperature of the REIT space, Gabriel.
Essentially, it's moving nice as well, as in basically it's going back to normal. If you have the right REIT in your portfolio, if you have the wrong REIT in your portfolio, then unfortunately you're still suffering from the COVID-19 pandemic then.
Wow. Okay. But overall, the S-REIT space, I understand, trading down 0.1%, not the hardest hit in the pandemic in terms of where you could have put your money, right?
Well, if you like to know where to put your money, then please go to Kinokuniya now or any of the major bookstores to get my book. It's called Making Your Millions in REITs. You know, we focus in the book on which are the REITs to avoid, because this is the ones that will destroy your wealth, and focus on the other REITs that will help you to make your money to multiply your wealth. Simple as that.
All right. I want to talk about the issues that matter to our listeners. And I think the merger of ESR and Sabana REIT falling through has been discussed. As a commentator, what do you think are some lessons that people can learn from the controversial merger, much talked about, but was not meant to be?
Well, it's actually one of the features that we have predicted in my book, Michelle. I think one of the key things that we have stressed is that when it comes to REITs, once a REIT turned bad, there is no turning back. You know, in my book, I've actually detailed many of the operational metrics that actually governed a REIT before it actually turned bad, so that you can avoid losing millions in them.
So what happened? Example, yeah, what happened with ESR and Sabana? Was it a case that they didn't speak to minority shareholders before the merger happened?
No. The thing is that when it comes to the Sabana issue, Sabana should have been an avoided stock as well. Mm-hmm. Essentially, the activists have gotten their votes, but what now? You see, because if you look at the share price of Sabana today, mm-hmm. as well as yesterday, mm-hmm. after the voting, yeah, you got your vote. So what? You know, the share mm-hmm. price is still down. You know, the key thing is that when and to what extent and if the share price do go up to above 40 cents, because that is roughly the estimated buying cost of the activist cost price in Sabana.
So it was an underperforming REIT, and you think it's still going to underperform if it's a standalone for Sabana?
Well, when it comes to REIT, our philosophy is very clear. Mm. When a REIT turns bad, you know, there's really a point of no turning back. So, for example, in my book, I've actually highlighted quite a few REITs that includes Soybill, that includes OUE Commercial Trust, Lippo Malls, and Sabana, where in the last 7 years, if you have actually invested in them, you have underperformed tremendously. In fact, you have lost money tremendously. So is there any point of turning back? Well, the last 7 years' data are very clear for everybody to see.
Okay. But why do you think this particular merger fell through?
Well, essentially, the merger, in this case, the key shareholders, that is actually ESR, as well as the major shareholders, which have to actually abstain from voting. So essentially, mm-hmm. it is just left for the activities to actually garden 25% of those attending, yep. you know, to dissent. So that's basically what it is. But the key thing going forward is that, yeah, you got your way, but what is the way ahead? Is it going to be cloudy? Does it mean that the share price will climb above 40 cents? Well, you know, from the looks of it, it doesn't seem to, you don't have any clue whatsoever. But if you look at my book, I have devoted a chapter on those underperforming REITs. And if you look at the traits, as well as basically the hallmarks of those underperforming REITs, it is very clear for everybody to see.
Do you think that the value, Sabana unit holders felt they were getting a raw deal? So should be looked at when it comes to valuation? Is it just DPU? What else should people be looking at?
Well, when it comes to Sabana, it's very clear that the focus was on the NAV, that is actually the net asset value.
Mm-hmm.
So the dissenters are saying that, look, you know, you are actually getting the company at a 27% discount. See, so the thing is, you know, but the thing is that why would anybody want to pay, you know, at NAV, let alone a 20% discount, let alone a 27% discount to the asset when the REIT has been underperforming for the last 7 years. In fact, for your viewers, that's FM 89.3 viewers, we have a special Christmas present on the 17th of December, just talking about theoretical valuation of REITs. So do come to our GCP Global website and sign up. It's free because it's a Christmas present for all of us. And there's like only 4 seats left out of 100.
Oh, that's wonderful. All right, let's look at OCBC Investment Research. In a note, they say that yield-hungry investors can look to a basket, a recovery basket, and then a resilient basket when investing in S-REITs. They said in this note, this comes as the team remains overweight on S-REITs amid a lower-for-longer interest rate environment, improved sentiment arising from potential COVID-19 vaccines, and undemanding valuations. Now, the recovery basket plays on improvement in sentiment and the recovery prospects of REITs in beaten-down sectors like hospitality and retail. So the picks for the recovery basket are these: Capitaland Integrated Commercial Trust with a fair value of $2.38, Mapletree North Asia Commercial Trust with a fair value of $1.04, Fraser Centrepoint Trust $2.75 for FE, Ascott Residence Trust FE $1.20, and Capitaland Retail China Trust with FE of $1.35. What do you make about this thesis for recovery basket?
Well, we don't look at either A basket or B basket, Michelle, but we rather like to play basketball, you know, with the various kind of different REITs that we have. I think essentially what OCBC has identified are many of the hospitality REITs and the retail REITs that they put in the basket for recovery.
Yep.
Something that I do agree, yes, but but more importantly is that, you know, the going forward with respect to the recovery prospects, it will be slow and steady. Hopefully, essentially, there's no resurgence and therefore the measures do not have to go back.
Yeah.
So this means, therefore, that if you use the benchmark of the 2019 prices for all the aforementioned REITs that you have just mentioned, I think that will serve as a very good guiding point valuation in terms of a price to dividend, price to book value that you can actually look at in 2021 for the recovery play. You know, but the more exciting aspect is the ones that we take, you know, outsized risks for outsized gains. So for those that we have mentioned in our class as well as highlighted in our book, you know, so the likes of, for example, ARA Hospitality actually surged from less than 30 cents to 45 cents. That's a 50% jump in the last 1.5 months.
And does Keppel DC REIT feature in your pick? I was reading an article about how it was one of the, you know, REITs to buy for 2020 given its performance this year. What do you think?
Well, yes, we picked this on our investment class on 13 August 2016 when the share price was at 134 for our student investors. Henceforth, the share price have actually tripled, you know, which we are very happy and laughing to the bank, you know. So literally, we like the epidemic because of this. But let's be very clear about some things. When it comes to REITs, you know, they are not like technology stocks, which can double, triple, and then go on to double and triple.
Right.
So the reality is this: Keppel REIT did very well last year. They were up, Keppel DC REIT, sorry, was up 52%. This year, year to date, you know, they are actually up close to about 50%. So do not expect a 50% up again next year. See, so it will have to go back to normal. But then it will still fit within our list of favorite REITs to have because of the dynamic as well as the tremendous change that's unfolding in 5G and the cloud market that Keppel DC is operating in.
Yes, with over 40% total return, Keppel DC REIT has been the eighth best performer of all global REITs with current market cap above 500 million. Okay, what about this? Okay, I just want to come back to the recovery plays and pick up on a point. You do agree hospitality and retail will recover, but you expect it to be sort of stretched out. What is your time frame that for recovery that you're looking at, Gabriel?
Well, it depends basically on the phases of moving, opening up. You know, so a very good example is that, yeah, you can have a cruise to nowhere, but what happens to Caribbean now is that the Caribbean has actually come home, right?
Yep.
You know, respect to identification of new cases, you know, and then it goes back, hopefully, to square one again. See, so in this regard, you know, rather than actually look at the timing, you know, it is actually more important, for example, to look at the asset value. For example, one of the REIT that we have mentioned in our last investment class that we told investment students that if you really want to take a high risk, you know, mind you, high risk, you can get possibly high return. And well, the example that we cited was ARA Hospitality Trust. So if you ask me, as mentioned in our, what actually makes ARA Hospitality Trust the peak, you know, 1.5 months ago when it was less than 30 cents. We told investment students at number one, okay, this was a REIT that essentially is fairly well managed. Two, you know, it is, as the US language says, you know, is left for dead, so to speak, you know, that kind of REIT. So the same case is happening to Hyatt Hotels REITs that are actually listed in the US. So a close correlation of how the US market moves in terms of the REITs has a very good close relationship as how REITs move here. The other operational metrics is that you notice that ARA Hospitality REIT, while they are actually still posing losses, not paying dividend, it doesn't mean that it's not poised for recovery. You know, the portfolio that they have throughout the US, actually they have done steps to mitigate, you know, the falling occupancies. And in fact, the last 6 months, you know, the occupancy rates for their various hotels have been going up. Now, it is one metric that I think not many analysts or bloggers would actually pick up because, you know, usually people wait for the party to start.
Right.
And then they start to look, you know, start to dress up. For us, we dress up our students to benefit from the party so that there's no overhang.
So the ARA US Hospitality Trust is what we're talking about. Posted a net property loss of $2 million. No distributable income for half year ended June 30th, 2020. Let's see, on Thursday it closed at 38 US cents, right? And now its share price is 48 US cents. And
yep.
You told your students that you were bullish on this back when again, Gabriel?
That was 1.5 months ago when it was when we had our October class, and that was when it was trading at 28.5 cents.
Wow, always looking ahead. Gabriel Yap is chairman of GCP Global, joining us here on Your Money. People always want to know, is it too late to get into the REITs game? Well, just look at the date for publication that Gabriel Yap has chosen for his brand new book, Chairman of GCP Global. We'll put that question to him. So is the book going to help people understand whether 2021 is too late to get into the S-REIT market, Gabriel?
Well, definitely no, Michelle. I think the key thing is that in our book, essentially, which is present now in all the major bookstores, but if you really want to buy in a box, then go to Kinokuniya. You know, I think essentially it details for us and gives you the framework, you know, where for the last 31 years, we have taught our 8,000-plus investor students how to make their millions in REITs. So essentially, you know, when it comes to money-making machine, you know, it never stops. See, it's a matter of basically when to go in, when to pull back, and when to go in and buy at a cheap level again. So the original quest, the answer to your question was no, but because it's a continuous process. So, you know, it's like the good things get higher, same as the original question on bad REITs. You know, once it goes bad, it never turns back.
Okay, so there's the answer right there in case you're wondering, you know, is it too late to enter the S-REIT market? I think his book subtitle also says it. It's a savvy investor's guide for crazy times, making your millions in REITs. You can stuff someone's stocking with that book. I'm sure they'll appreciate that Christmas present, right?
Certainly so. Certainly so.
All right, let's talk about a resilient basket of REITs. I want to come back to OCBC's premise. So we talked about the recovery basket, and now we take a look at their resilient basket. This looks at S-REITs, and I suppose they're looking at secular growth trends, you know, exposure to data centers, business parks, right. Logistics. What do you think of this segment?
Well, within this particular segment, we have always guided our investor students to look at the top industrial players. So the industrial REITs are your Maple Tree Logistics Trust, Maple Tree Industrial Trust, as well as actually Ascendas REIT are poised to benefit from the developments that's actually going to unfold going ahead. One is that because of COVID, the demand for logistics as well as data center space is going to be much stronger going next year compared to what we've seen this year. In fact, COVID-19 has brought forward the developments that are likely to unfold in the next 5 years in less than 2 months or 3 months. You know, that is the feedback that you normally get. You know, so for example, when I spoke to Ms. Ng Kiat, who is the CEO of Maple Tree Logistics Trust, when they did the placement, you know, I actually questioned, you see, why are you paying 15% more for the same assets that they actually had when they first bought the first 50% for the 15 assets, 15 Chinese assets, that was actually last year. So right now they are buying the remaining 50%, but at 15% more. Can you imagine that if you are actually a property investor, you are paying 15% more in a single year? Sure. That is a whole worth of billions that you need extra than you need to pay.
So I'm looking at DBS analyst Dale Lai and Derek Tan and their predictions. We know that you're really good at looking ahead. So Lai and Tan expect industrial REITs to be the most active segment moving into fiscal 2021. What are your picks for the industrial REIT space?
It's basically one of our favorite sector. The outperforming REIT sectors that we actually have highlighted for our student investors going ahead, as well as something that we can present also to our young investors who will sign up for our 17 December Christmas present, you know, for all, where it's entitled Realty Bites for REITs. We also like the other REITs that are in what we call cell towers, that includes Castle REITs, you know, as well as, but these are listed in the US. So now when we look at REITs, essentially we look at the underlying trends, underlying industry. We don't really specify where they actually are listed, but as long as you can make good amount of money, you know, that's tremendous. Yeah. So the other aspect of REITs that we actually like going ahead are, of course, the data centers. So the likes of Equinix, Digital, they're listed in the US, Capital DC, MIT listed in Singapore, as well as many of the 5G, as well as cloud computing ETF is something that we have actually proposed that will be huge winners into 2021.
Indeed. I wonder if you talk about looking overseas, I was reading that foreign investors are snapping up office space in India. They want to turn them into REITs. Bloomberg reports that a company called Brookfield Asset Management, they paid $2 billion for about 12 million square feet of, you know, rent yielding offices, co-working spaces in India. And that is the biggest real estate deal ever in the country. Do you look at REITs in India? Has that caught your eye?
Oh, yes, Michelle. If you actually look at Ascendas India Trust, the latest annual report, you'll notice that I am Gabriel Yap Chong Hin, the 17th largest shareholder in that particular company. And Ascendas India Trust only buy assets in India. And, you know, when I spoke to actually the company as part of my follow-up, I know you'll notice that this stock has done tremendously well. They have actually doubled in the cost of my holdings. And I continue to hold them because I think the pricing for the Indian assets, as you have mentioned, have huge, tremendous potential. Also, in my Making a Millions in REITs book, I've actually highlighted the outperformance of the first Indian REIT that listed in India. You know, that is actually the Embassy REIT. And you have mentioned Brookfield, but the likes of other big players, like many of the private PE funds are also positioning, as well as Goldman Sachs, positioning many of the property players in India to actually come to the market and offer in terms of REITs. And you have first mover advantage. The advantage can be tremendous. For example, Embassy went for IPO in 2019 at a 300 rupee. It actually shot up to close to 500 rupee before COVID-19 actually struck. See, so tremendous amount of money can be made. So that's why when your earlier question is that, you know, is it too late to enter REITs? The answer is never yes, because, you know, whatever you learn in the Singapore market, the good developed market or the US market, you can always replicate it in other new emerging markets. So last year, you know, India started, this year Philippines started, and in the foreseeable future, I would expect that China will be a tremendous growth market. So, you know, so for example, Michelle, before my book, you know, was even published, you know, my publishers, as well as myself, already had inquiries from CITIC Press, and CITIC Press is the largest publisher in China, and they're looking to translate my book into Chinese. So, well, you know, best Christmas present, I would say.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, congratulations. I can hear the pride in your voice.
You.
Speaking of looking ahead, I know that three more REITs are expected to be listed on Indian exchanges in the year ahead. Have you got your eyes on any of those three?
All three of them, yes. They are all up to my eyeballs, literally, Michelle.
Okay, up to your eyeballs. Well, thank you, Gabriel, and Merry Christmas to you and all at home. Thanks for this masterclass.
Merry Christmas, Michelle, and Happy New Year to all viewers and friends.
Gabriel Yap, Chairman of GCP Global.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.